That's my mom. I'm up at my mom's house in Wyoming at the moment.
Nice. In Wyoming. Very cool. Yeah. Hey, Meg. Welcome.
Hey, guys.
Cool. Love it. Hi, Danny. Where are you today, Danny? Are you home?
I am.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. That's unusual for you. Nice.
Well, no.
Yeah. What it is. Cool. All right, everybody. Hey, Bree. Good to see you.
Hi.
Organize my stuff. Good. Okay. A lot happened this week, right? I mean, there's a lot on the agenda, a lot inside the module. And my whole mind has been running around playing bigger and being bold and making proposals. And I know I ended last week's, or we talked about on last week's, was kind of the idea of, you know, being so bold that we demand that our prospects say hell yes or hell no to us. And gosh, it's just been kind of haunting me where that came from. So I think it's a huge idea that is worthy of a little more fleshing out and more sharing about it. But anything that came up with that around you guys, around what's going on this week, I'd love to leave a little time at the top for kind of a check-in, and that usually can drive us to some pretty interesting places, and we'll get into the content of the module coming up later. But anyone have something they want to check in with, especially if they think it can apply to the whole group, that would be great.
I got together with a couple of blueprinters, and I've been circulating a flow chart diagram, which takes your concepts and your directions, Barry, and all of the funnels and all of the ways we can get in touch with clients and puts them in a one diagram. Because there seem to be a lot of questions about what do you do first, what do you do second, what if this, then
I want to see that, Danny.
You know what? I want to see it too. And I'm definitely going to share it with everybody. I'm not like holding back, but I want it to be right. So I shared it with who was it? I did a first draft, then I did a second draft, then I sent it to Patrick Gregoire,
nice,
who added some things that because he and I were discussing things privately, and as I was giving him ideas, is he on? He's not here, is he?
I don't think he comes home yet.
Okay,
it's a few hours until he gets home.
Patrick? No. Patrick Gregoire.
Yeah. I don't think he's there.
Not Patrick from Germany.
Yep.
No.
Patrick from Winnipeg.
Yes, exactly.
Good. And
wow, that's exciting.
Yeah, anyway, he and I went back and forth. And so I think what I want to do, Barry, is actually send it to you.
Thank you. Yeah.
It'll take 10 minutes to like look at it and go, you're missing this, or you should reword that.
Love it. Oh my gosh.
Do you have the time to do that?
I'll do that soon after receiving it. I would love that.
Okay, and then it'll be something that you can share with future bloopers.
Oh man, that's great.
Including all the people I'm going to recommend take this course.
Love it. And you know, somebody once, you know, it's funny, in the, let me just show you guys on the screen here. I think this came out of a small attempt to do it more in a, let me share, more in a visual, more in a written way, not in the visual manner you're talking about. But you know, under here, under the funnel sheets, this was something that some people helped me about, you know, just kind of getting it all together. So maybe this will help guide some of that. And I know there was some discussion going on in the group between you and Patrick and getting a little lost in things. And
right.
Yeah, and I own that. I mean, my brain is a scrambled mess, and there's no reason it should look or taste like anybody else's. And I'm always interested in improving that, right, to make it more valuable.
We did not break down the funnels. We just said, like, if this happens, then go to didn't land the gig funnel, you know. But there's so much beyond the funnels
that, yep.
Anyway, I don't mean to be mysterious about it. I mean, we could take the time to go through it now as a group. If we have that time, we could do it.
Yeah.
But I felt it would be a better use of our time to just show it to you first and then share it.
I love that you mentioned it and raise the intrigue, and I will sign up to add my piece to it. And yeah, I love it. And it sounds to me like maybe it can lead to a phone app one day, which would be fun.
Mm. Wow.
the if then stuff is ripe for
Right.
For phone apps. Good. Good, good. What else? Who's else got something going on? I know I've spoken with a couple people who've written me during the week. Anything you feel like sharing? Or gosh, it's dark in my room here today. Let me get some light up. Yeah.
And I had a great meeting with Barry, and we talked about our website and we talked about our copy.
Nice.
And I'm working on LinkedIn this week, which is we don't have a LinkedIn business page, and now I feel like a sense of urgency to like put it up right away, but I also want to get it right. So just kind of feel like everything like this, there's so much stuff to do that I want to make happen. Yeah. And then I've been doing a lot of research on clients and stuff. So that's good.
Very
good.
Are you coming?
Are you doing the National Restaurant Show this week?
Yeah. We're going to be at the Ecolab booth
in Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does it start on Saturday?
Yeah, it starts Saturday, and then I think it ends. I don't even remember if it's Monday or Tuesday.
Tuesday usually. Yeah. I'm not doing it this year because I'm going out of town on Sunday. I'm actually going out of town on Sunday, but I may come on Saturday and try to see you. Oh, I know that booth. Live Marketing used to do that booth years ago. So good for you. Good for you. That's great. Great client. Big booth. Major booth at the show.
Yeah, it's a fun gig.
You got your cameras ready? You going to do some spy angles?
I do. I was charging them up, making sure I know how to work them, and I have everything ready. We're going to put one behind the board, or like on the board, the knife throwing board, so people can see out.
Oh, nice.
We're going to put one in the audience, and there's also a number of Ecolab people there that would be happy just to like walk around and shoot stuff too. So
love it. Oh, sweet. Good for you, man.
Make sure they hold their iPhones landscape.
Yeah, right. Not the classic.
Yeah.
Well, that would be upside down even. Yeah. Yeah.
They're funny. Last year was the first time they took a chance on us, and they were really worried about it because it's, you know, we do knife throwing and, you know, it was and they were like, well, maybe you can try and tone it down when the CEO comes, and, you know, and they told us we're doing like shows, 5-10 minute shows every half hour.
Yeah.
So just to draw a crowd and so they can get leads. And a couple people started tweeting about it, and oh, you got to come and see the Ecolab booth. And the lady at the, she was like, they're tweeting about Ecolab. No one tweets about Ecolab.
Awesome.
So, and then their CEO is like, wow, you really got the front end of this thing right. I want to see the same thing next year. So that's, during the gig, they signed us for the following year.
Oh, Nick, good.
Love it.
That's really
so good.
Great.
Wow. Barry, I've got some questions going back to, you know, previous weeks, just kind of building up. I don't know if I could throw a couple out there and how that works.
Yeah, Jim, let's stay on the stuff for this week. And I know you wrote me and said, when should I do them? And I will make sure there's time for them. But it would be great towards the end of it just to kind of say what's from the past that we can do. So
sounds good.
Good, yeah.
So I had a question about the LinkedIn.
Yeah,
I listened to almost all of it. Did he... Or do you know the answer to the difference between a post and an article?
I don't even believe there is one, Danny. I think it's the same thing. Let me bring up like Pulse, which they're changing this every day. Oh, here, I'm not seeing my screen anymore. This is hilarious.
That was one of my main takeaways from LinkedIn, is that it's being changed so much that it's very difficult for anyone to keep a handle on it.
Oh, it did come into feed. At first it was just going to HP. So yeah, you know, and it's moved around in terms of how much is happening, what people are clicking on. So yeah, when you write an article here, or if you go
but you can click there, or you can just type. You can just type like on top of the word share.
Right.
And that's different.
Yep.
It's a different thing.
Yeah, it's shown
that's
differently.
Like a post.
Great point. Let me bring this up with.
And if you scroll through your feed, you'll see that you'll come to like articles that people have written versus posts that they've made. They look a little different. And I was just wondering is if you knew. I wasn't able to be on that conference call.
Right.
And so what I want to know is if one gets you more noticed, or, you know, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to drop
that. One gets more notice than another one. He also, did he talk about hashtags or use of at signs?
Nope, he didn't cover that.
Okay.
I see the Danger Committee tab up there on your screen.
Really? Did I do that? Oh yeah, yeah. I had your I had your site up. As you know, I was working on a little bit of a copy challenge you gave me. So yeah, do you want to share that? Were you are you fine with it? You want to put that up or?
Well, I haven't put the copy on it yet.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, yeah.
So, but I sent it to the guys and they both really liked it. So I wasn't sure how much of it, if all of it or where to put it, but it's great. It's fantastic.
Let me share with you guys. Mick and company hired for a little help for copywriting, and you know, rightly so. I always say outsource the hell out of stuff you can't do. Oh, Ted is typing me on chat. Maybe I can bring him in here. This would be awesome. God, the real world, man, is insane. Yes, always online. I got a few minutes. I'm going to bring him in. Let me give him the link to this. Let me share. Where's the invite? There we go. Copy URL. Boom.
Is he affordable for consultations, Barry?
I don't know if he does private consultation, but he's
managed. Oh no, he said he did it all the time. He said people go there and he gives advice. And
oh man, I would definitely hit him up for it. In fact, I'll ask him to do a little.
Remember he said he did this and he got clients to, you know.
Oh, that's right.
Profile.
Does that outreach and then.
I guess what I meant, what I was thinking about was, you know, we didn't have sometimes these webinars, you know, the last 15 minutes, they go into a formal pitch of a program and all this crap. And I always tell people we don't do that on here.
No, I'm just asking if he's for hire.
Yeah,
if
wonderful.
Hire him for to review my profile.
Yeah.
If he's like you told us that Brian was not affordable, so I just believed you.
Probably not, but I'll tell you one thing, man. Brian is, oh my God, he's at such an interesting place in his life.
Do you have his home address, by the way? Brian's home address?
I don't, but I can get it. Yeah.
I wanted to send him something.
He said he
collects marketing material on magicians.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah, I'll get that.
A whole bunch of stuff to send him if what he'd like.
I will get that for you.
Yeah, okay.
For sure. Make a note on that.
I think Brian might do some copywriting for anyone who books him at a birthday party as a magician.
I think he wants it so bad.
He totally wants to do some performer. I think the person who lines him up with the right $200 gig will get $20,000 of copywriting out of him.
Yeah, you sit around for some cake afterwards and you're like, so about this, yeah, I don't want to jump into business, but oh my God, it's so funny. Get Brian's. Yeah, good. Good deal. I'll do that. Hey, good. Yeah, it's funny. You know, I haven't written a lot of articles on LinkedIn. I think there's probably two or three that I've kind of tossed up because I haven't played with it, but it would be really good to know that. So let's see if. Let me see if Ted can make it in here. I'll stop sharing this for a second.
Well, it seems like presumably too, there's got to be some like, you know, like doing an article, you know, something you can link out and get, you know,
sure,
SEO stuff going a little bit more with an article than just a post, I would think.
Absolutely.
But it'd be great to know that.
Yeah, sure. That's a great question. And then the hashtag stuff. So yeah, if he comes on, we'll deal with both. Hey, there's Ted. Hey, how you doing, dude?
Good. How you doing?
Gosh, you were available, man, right from the interview. Thanks so much. This is a bigger chunk of the group. And we were talking about week 7 where your illustrious interview appeared. So that was cool. And Danny, who on my screen is up there on the top, I don't know where he's at in your Brady Bunch square. But
hi, Ted.
He had some interesting, just an interesting question. Why don't you ask it, Danny? It'd be great to hear that.
So I'm a corporate magician, Ted. I perform at trade shows and corporate meetings around the country. And I kind of have this plan, strategy for LinkedIn, but I don't know, you know, I'm just guessing that it might work, which is to post a series of articles on a corporate magician's best travel tips. And I have these like quirky little travel tips that I do that most people don't know, think about. And just real short, like 4 sentences and a picture, you know? I've done that. I put up 2 or 3 of them and not gotten really very much traction, a few comments and things. But my question is, is there a difference between a post and an article?
Yeah. Article is like a blog post.
It's a full length article.
So it's expected to be, when you say full length, like a couple hundred words, 1,000 words?
Well, I've done some that are very short and added a video to them, things like that.
But in terms of the way it enters a person's feed, is a person more likely to click on an article than a post than an article, in terms of the way they respond to them?
Well, the question is, how big is your network?
Between 500 and 1,000.
Okay, because only they would be notified that you put that article out there. It would go through their news feed.
Where if I do a regular, if I go up, do a post, then anybody could see it based on the keywords in it?
In theory, yeah. It'll only notify your network, but other people could pick it up through LinkedIn Pulse.
Is it like Facebook? If you share something, does there have to be a connection for someone to see it? If Danny writes those articles and somebody shares it, would it, you know, in Facebook, there's that annoying attachment unavailable. If somebody shares something, we're not friends.
Right. But if you post it as an article, it goes into the big queue. And then actually I'll find the LinkedIn. They have a hashtag. If you send it to the editors, if they like the post, they'll push it out to like all of LinkedIn.
Yikes.
Oh,
and they changed the hashtag and the Twitter handle. So I'll find that for you.
The crowd gatherer, thanks. Barker and Danny just got very excited. I
yeah.
saw.
Yeah.
The Edmund
so speaking about hashtags, is it advantageous to use hashtags and ampersands in a post or an article?
Yes.
And which one and how?
They discontinued it for a while. Now they're recognizing them again.
So which one do you use?
Both. Like I was working with a bunch of other LinkedIn experts, and this one woman compiled 200 LinkedIn posts with tips from experts. And she put it into an ebook and then copied all of us on her post. And I got like 22 new connections yesterday just from her post. And they all mentioned that, hey, I read your ebook that Bryn sent out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you're in that ebook.
So you do an ampersand with a person's name,
yeah,
and then a hashtag with what? Like a subject?
Some kind of, like you on a tweet, some kind of keywords that would get people's attention.
Okay.
Because theoretically, we can go to the LinkedIn box and do... Because
then they become searchable, right? It's searchable. Like something a phrase that someone might search, like
here it is.
Trade shows,
right? And also tweet it when you... do your articles.
Yeah, I know.
Also, write the article and then tweet it in the post.
I'm gonna post. Yeah,
oh,
looking for a full-time social media director. That's my post. Yeah. Time to do the fitting.
No, but if you make some entertaining posts, even if they're short, and maybe a nice image, and if you could add even a video to some of them, and then you tweet it. I'll find that LinkedIn hashtag, LinkedIn editor or something like that.
Well, that's my goal, is to do this and to kind of grow my network. And then I have a video, which is more about me, which is more of a selling video, even though I wouldn't phrase it as selling. It's a video that other people have seen in this group about a new magic trick that I'm doing at trade shows.
Cool.
Is that a strategy though? Like kind of do these posts, try to grow the network through the posts and then share more of something that's a little more self-promotional, but in a nice, friendly way.
And any videos you do, post on YouTube and then take the YouTube link and put it in your LinkedIn post. And then
that's what
Google likes that even better.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Do they like YouTube better than Vimeo?
Yeah, because they own YouTube.
Oh, man.
They do love that.
And also put it on Google Plus, because anything you put in Google Plus goes into Google search rankings too.
I don't even know what that is.
No, I don't know many people who do, but it's a quick way onto the Google results though, apparently.
Do repeat that. They reward you.
Yeah, Robert was saying Google Plus. It was around, I think it was Tuesday a year ago. No, it came and went quickly though.
Their thing. They tried to outdo Facebook with it and they totally failed.
Man, that's a big one to watch.
It's still worth posting on though, right?
Yeah, because they'll put you at the top of the search rankings for stuff. Nobody reads it, but it goes into the Google search rankings and they'll find you there.
So, Ted, one more thing. You said any videos you do, post to YouTube and then post that URL on your LinkedIn?
Yeah, when you do an article on LinkedIn,
gotcha.
You can embed the YouTube code there.
Does LinkedIn take native video the way Facebook does, or they don't even do that?
No, they don't. So you just post it on YouTube or Vimeo, but YouTube, you get the traction of the Google.
Is there a way to see what you've already posted on LinkedIn? Like in Facebook, you can kind of scroll back, but I've posted a few video blogs on LinkedIn, and I have maybe a dozen of them to post, and I've posted three or four, and I'm trying to find out which ones I already did, but it's almost like they just disappeared.
They hide things well these days, don't they? Yeah, if you look at your profile, let me find it here. It says who viewed posts in your feed over on the left corner.
Okay.
If you click there, views of your article.
Okay.
Then it shows articles, posts, and all activity.
Got it. So it's under that. Okay. I guess I never would have thought to look there. So thank you.
They're getting less intuitive every day. Yesterday, they just changed the banner size. The header above in your background. Mine shrunk down to a small size now.
So potentially you have to re-edit like whatever that banner image was with whatever graphic and photo and text element, you have to now re-edit that to make it fit in a new size so it's not getting cropped off in a weird way.
Yep. The good news is it'll be a standard size and there won't be an ad across the top. But it's just a little adjustment. It's actually pretty nice.
I noticed on the call that you did a few days ago, you showed and were quite complimentary to people, including Barry, that integrated a tagline, like a headline on top of their photo.
Mm-hmm.
Do those words get picked up by like a search engine, or is it just a strong, like Barry's there, or is it just a good marketing technique?
No, it's good marketing. It doesn't get picked up anywhere, but I mean, that just grabs your attention. That's the first thing they see.
Yeah, it is.
Really. And Barry's got the update. See how it's squared off there instead of going the full width of the page? It used to go all the way across the page.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have a definite space we can work with, which is great.
It seems like it wasn't as high either. Like I checked mine when I was listening last night and this morning to you talk, and I went to my page and it was like my head was cut off.
Yeah.
But it was a super easy adjustment just for everybody. I just clicked on it and dragged it down and it was fixed in less than 5 seconds. Like there's my picture now, you know? Yeah. And I did change my, the words under my name based on, you know, your comments about trying to be more creative with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you see trade show booth crowd generator, and that's just what you're doing up there. So
yep,
it matches well.
But I love the idea. I'm going to change that photo again and put some, you know, words up there like, you know, looking to generate crowds at your booth or, you know.
Right.
Something. Right.
Take trade show booth crowd generator out of your headline and put it up on that picture.
Right. Could do it that way too and put something else in the headline. Right. Right.
Do you have a picture of you with like a huge crowd at the trade at a booth?
I do, but the problem is, you know, that shape is such a spaghetti box shape. It's really hard to show. I mean, that crowd actually is huge. If they could be a taller photo, you'd see there's like three times as many people gathered around it. But the problem is the dimensions of that photograph limit.
Yeah.
How many people you can really show.
Yeah.
But I will try to find something that's more appropriate. I have tons of those photos.
Yeah, that looks good. I like your photo too, the way it's a little offset too. It's good.
Thank you.
I also have a question because of the headline and the background picture. Ted, you said that we should look out or watch out for, I'm sorry, I didn't introduce myself. My name is Rene. And you said in the module that we should look out for the size of the headline, because in the mobile view, it will be cut off. And I actually had a look at my, because I also changed my picture already, and the headline basically is way too long. And when I look into the, you should look for René Chevalier, René Chevalier.
Yeah, you get 120 characters for that space.
No, I'm speaking speaking about the background picture. If I put in, when I put my English.
Oh, I know.
We should put a headline onto the background picture. And yeah, we had to have to take care that it's it fits also in the mobile version. But if I look in the mobile version, it's only the left part of the background picture. So it's very difficult to make it look good in both versions, because you should have the headline on the right, on the left side in your background picture, and this makes it look a little bit strange. It's CH, yes, that's it. Can't find it.
You're probably connected too, aren't you? Yep.
Ah, there it is. There it is. Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. We've got.
So this is pretty long, and basically at the end you only have the left guy in mobile mode, and just a few words of the headline. So what I should do is basically make a short headline and put it just on the left side of the picture to have it visible in the mobile view. Or what's your suggestion?
What if you put that line as your professional headline down below and then put a shorter message at the top?
Mm-hmm.
If you look at my profile, I've been working with my designer trying to figure this mess out. And we figured out that if you use a short one like mine, it seems to work on all devices. So I changed my headline last week.
Right, just that little.
So if you have just a small section there, that fits on all devices.
Yeah, and then that too, I mean, what you've got going there, Ted, is also basically two lines stacked on top of each other.
Right.
So you're getting as many words as Rene had, but by splitting it into a stack, one on the other, it fits into a narrower space. So that might be something to think about, Rene.
Yeah.
I'm really wondering that you will see the headline and your picture, or just the headline?
Mine's working well on all devices right now.
Uh-huh.
Barry, could you just make it to a mobile view?
Yep, that's mobile view up.
Yes.
Ted, why do they make so many changes to LinkedIn so frequently?
They're in the middle of a massive upgrade. Microsoft bought them at the end of last year. So they're totally revamping the interface.
I see.
And they're integrating it with a lot of Microsoft products. Yeah, I wish they would slow down a little bit. My head's spinning right now. I can't make the videos fast enough. The good news is my phone's ringing off the hook. So
nothing's working.
Yeah.
Do we have any expectation that Microsoft is going to do something like what they've done with their major operating systems, where they've just come out with terrible, terrible software and they're just going to kind of, basically screw the whole damn thing up? Or does it seem like they're actually headed in a good direction with this, and LinkedIn will still be a viable tool a year from now?
The good news is Microsoft seems to be moving in a better direction since Steve Ballmer retired.
Cool.
Yeah. They got some younger blood in there now, and they actually, they're cool again. Their stock price is going way up.
Awesome.
Except for this big hack attack that's going on. It's all Microsoft vulnerabilities. You did an upgrade from Windows XP, I guess. But now they're going to integrate it with like Outlook, and you'll be able to message right from Outlook if you use Outlook, right to LinkedIn people. Should be interesting. I see Barry's got it up there. That's the mobile view on the iPad. I think Barry's muted.
Barry, we can't hear you.
Barry, I think you're muted.
Once again.
Am I on? Yeah, I don't know what's happening.
Now we can.
Sorry about that. But I was saying the lesson we can all take from your designer is put the good stuff in the middle and leave the borders to the outside. Oh, that's great. I'm going to redo mine too.
There must be some coding. There must be some coding because on mine it looks totally different. If we do it on mine, you only have the left part of the picture. I mean, at least the day before yesterday, it showed only the left part of the background picture. So
yeah, the new thing rolled out yesterday for me, and it's not in all accounts yet. So you'll have more space in the middle and less on the sides now. Instead of before, we had to put everything on the sides because that bubble went over the top and pushed all the words away. And they had an ad right through the middle of it too, towards the top.
So Ted, can you tell me the dimensions of the photo, that spaghetti box shaped photo?
Bearing in mind that it's now 11:30. And it could be different at noon, but yeah.
The new
well,
size.
I did a copy. I copied my photo and then I pasted it into a Microsoft Publisher, which is like a poor man's version of Photoshop, poor man's version. And and it was bigger. There was more content in the photo than what appears in the. A LinkedIn photo. In the LinkedIn photo, it crops it. It cropped my bigger photo into that space.
So once you get the upgrade, when it goes to that rectangle shape instead of all the way across the page, it's 1584 by 396. You think they just go 1600 by 400, but no, they go 1584 by 396.
And those are pixels, right?
Yeah.
And when you said upgrade, you mean the upgrade in LinkedIn?
Yeah, your screen just refreshes. I was literally on a call with a client too, just started refreshing.
How do I know if it's refreshed?
Barry, show your screen again.
Yeah, I think yours was.
Yeah, yours, it's the account. It's not the person's profile. So Barry, all of yours will look the same now.
Gotcha. So mine has it. Does yours look different than this if you just bring up LinkedIn though, Danny? That'd be interesting if we had a...
You have to show me your... No, I mean, I thought mine looked like yours. Let me see yours again.
Thought I was.
I have mine up on a different computer so I can see it, but you can't.
So see how it's cropped just in that box? Where before it used to go all the way across the page.
Yep.
I see. Yeah. All right. So I have the updated version.
Well, no, Barry does because he's logged in and he sees that. You have to log into your account and see if you've got the upgrade where you can see the new look yet.
I'm logged in on a different computer.
Oh, got you, and you're seeing it.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. And it looks like what I see at Aunt Barry's.
Okay, then you've got the upgrade.
All the way across the page.
You want to put a banner that's 1584 by 396.
Okay. I
just did my banner and I don't have the upgrade on my, maybe I need to clear the cookies or something.
Well, maybe
they're rolling it out now. So sometimes it takes a couple weeks for everybody to get it.
Yeah.
Hers looks the same. How is hers different?
Her to banner. Me and you, it does, but I think she's saying when she
on my personal computer. Yeah. The banner goes woo all the way, the old style.
Yeah.
So I kept finagling with Photoshop and trying to make it look right, but I should just go with the suggested pixel size.
Yeah,
it looks
good.
Great.
Yeah.
Because for everyone else, it looks stupid. It's so maddening.
Yeah.
No, Brie. Very maddening right now.
You know, Brie, it seems to me if you're saying the best children's entertainment for your special event, then you should have a picture there of children,
kids.
Audience of children laughing and smiling and.
Okay, I'll go find that photo right now.
Yeah, I mean, you have them. I know that. Yeah.
Would you agree, Ted?
Yeah,
totally.
That makes a lot of sense.
Those to me look like little pancakes on my screen. I can't.
Yeah.
I mean, they just look like little pancakes or waffles or cereal bowls or something.
The best waffles.
Yeah, good. I look forward.
And I can't. And I can't even read.
Right. Same.
The graphic on each one.
I know. Brie.
It's a real challenge to deal with that. That shape. It's such a, you know, spaghetti box of a shape in terms of getting a photo in there. But a crowd of kids, profile view, profile view, I think, is what you want.
Yeah.
Those kids.
Yeah,
like
I'll go look for that.
All going, ah!
She's going to do it right now. I know Brie. And we'll refresh this in like 3 minutes. And it'll be, yeah, so good for you, man. Way to act on it. I love it. Hey, who else? I know some of us were live here when Ted was on. I don't want to monopolize Ted's time. But man, I so appreciate just grabbing you on a chat and you coming in. Oh, and also someone on this group was asking, is Ted available? And how would we see? We did such a good job when I told you I don't like to pitch on our webinars. But you did such a good job. No one even knew if you were available to help with a consult or how people would reach out to you, Ted. So is that something that's available? You would.
Yeah. Do? Yeah. Just connect with me on LinkedIn and.
Cool. Yeah,
I do it all day long. I'm on LinkedIn helping people. So.
That's so cool, man. Thank you. Very good. You know, some people may want to do that. Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. I got to go.
Hey, man. Thank you so much. Back at it. You were awesome. Thanks for coming
thanks,
in, man.
Thanks, Ted. Okay.
Thanks, Ted.
Thank you very much.
If you don't want to leave yet, we're going to do a little juggling lesson. No, I'm kidding.
He's already gone.
I wanted to do that as he was leaving.
As soon as the word juggling.
Yes, if it ends on juggling, it was perfect. Oh, my God. I could have learned to juggle? Yeah.
That horrible. Was great, Barry. Thank you for bringing him in. That, you know, I got all those questions answered that I was wondering about. So.
Yeah, and my takeaway from that is, my gosh, let's write articles. And he's going to find out. And I got in my notes here to remind him to let us know that hashtag for the editors. Danny, I could totally see your stuff. You know, your series of travel tips from a professional trade show.
It's a funny idea, isn't it? I mean, great I think idea, that right? What I tried to do is take your idea that we're really special people in the eyes of corporate America, magicians, jugglers. Wow, I know this magician. And what I do, and here's something you guys can all do. When I reach out to somebody on LinkedIn, I say, you know, if you link up, I use the word link up instead of LinkedIn, but I spell it LINK, capital UP. So it's one word, right? So it's kind of like a spoof on LinkedIn, which is one word with a capital I, right?
Love
so I say,
it.
If you link up with me, I bet I'll be the only corporate magician in your network.
I love it.
Isn't that cute? I thought that was really cute.
You'd be the guy too. It would be really fun to watch you do this and, you know, anyone else on here to get into that editor tag and have, like Ted was saying, they flooded out to all of LinkedIn. That would be insane. Be a really
yeah.
fun.
Wow, right.
It's a good network to be known in. I mean, it's one thing to be known in the Facebook world or the Instagram world, but yeah, these are your people. This
right.
Is,
this so then in these articles that I'm writing, you know, they always have like a little comment, like, so there's some travel problem, like losing your cell phone when you're traveling, right? Terrible. How do you prevent that from happening? Well, go old school. Put a sticker on the back of your phone that has your name and address on it, right?
Hello.
And so I just took a picture of that and I posted that. And it was like really simple.
Oh, nice.
But you know, at the end of the article, I can make a little joke on the fact that I'm a magician. Like, if you do this, then your telephone won't disappear. Ha ha ha, right?
That's
exactly what I was thinking, Danny.
And for us, it's really trite being in the business, but you know, for you magicians out there, isn't corporate America always coming out to you and saying, oh, can you make my wife disappear? Can you make my boss disappear? They think it's funny. So
So play with that. Yeah. That's getting in the stream of traffic the way they're used to seeing it. So good. Good stuff. Good.
Yeah, it seems to me like, Robert, there's got to be some really similar sort of things. You know, I mean, your trip advisories could be so awesome.
I'm going to write an article about the travel safety soon. It's all the scams and the pickpockets you meet in the hotels and the airport. Oh,
totally. That's so
fantastic.
Awesome.
You could go for days on that.
Right, exactly.
I can read an entire book about just Paris.
Yeah.
Wow. I may be interested in those. We're going there in a couple of weeks.
Totally.
If anyone tells you to hold out your finger like this, Barry, don't. Right. It's the start of a scam.
So don't hold it out and don't pull a finger. Both. Anything with a finger.
It's a different story.
Pretty much anything with a finger.
Yes.
Gotcha.
That's not just in Paris. That's anywhere.
That would be global. I totally agree. Yeah. Good call on that. Good backup on that. Yeah, good. All right.
So Barry, you said not – I know this has been mentioned before, but yeah, I guess I just wanted to check in again, like not to connect with other entertainers on LinkedIn.
You know, it's not something I do. I mean, it's something I do with people who are in this group because we're watching each other, and, you know, it's one of the things we do, and I trust you guys not just to come in and rob my network. And if you do, you know, it's not a problem either. But in general, like entertainers, I don't know. I just don't do that on LinkedIn. And I get
right on like the random entertainer that you met. You're at a big trade show in Vegas, and there's another magician working a booth across the way. And they're like, oh, hey, good to meet you. You don't just go, oh, like, to immediately link in the way we do with Facebook.
Right. And don't, yeah, or not even that. Really never even met them, don't even know who they are.
Right.
So, yeah, there's just a lot of that coming my way. They either hear about something I'm doing or, you know, whatever it is. And it's a reasonable thing to do.
And so, you know, what good can come of it? That's really what you ask yourself. What's the benefit?
Right.
What is there? How is there a business benefit to you by linking in with another entertainer?
See, like this,
very, very tiny, you know, if any. I think there's a greater chance that it would be a detriment.
Like this guy, Jim Manning. What? No, I'm kidding. Jim's awesome. But you know, there are just a lot of entertainers I've never known, never worked with, and Mystical Incorporated, no idea. You know, voiceover actor. And it's all fine, but yeah. So
what's funny is I got a lot of requests for LinkedIn from other entertainers, and I really resisted. And then it was funny. I was like, oh, I should connect. But my gut told me not to. Like, I'd be very comfortable being connected with everybody here. But, you know, the competitor up the road, I'm not really that excited about.
Right. That you don't even know about. Yeah. And I do connect with those people on Facebook. I mean, it's a lot of that. I made a list out of entertainers, and it's, you know, it's good for when I'm doing coaching, Showbiz Blueprint, whatever. So,
sure.
Okay, good. So, I mean, that all started with
Danny. It seems like,
oh, go ahead.
That might even be a great response is the random unknown entertainer attempts to connect with you on LinkedIn, go back and ask them for a friend request on Facebook. So direct the connection to be in Facebook and then just blow them off in LinkedIn. Don't actually accept the request in LinkedIn.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
You know, because then they'll be like,
if you have the time.
God, you know. But, you know, if you're someone like me who might be worried about hurting feelings or whatever, that might be a way to deal with it. If you're like, okay, I'm going to go find them on Facebook, then they'll be like, oh, yeah, we are friends, whatever. You know, but I'm protecting my professional network of business clients by not letting them into my LinkedIn network.
I wish you had told me that years ago, Sven.
Sorry. You know, if you responded to my LinkedIn friend request years ago, I would have been able to tell you that.
Right. But, you know, Robert, you can go back to LinkedIn and you can unlink people.
Yeah.
There's a way to do it. So if you wanted to kind of begin to reconfigure your LinkedIn network, you could start by delete. And then
I should definitely do that.
Yeah, maybe. Because also, you know, it's about a mindset. You know, when you go on, I think that it was so funny. Brian, the guy who talked to us about copywriting.
Yeah, Brian Keith, yeah.
He said he must have said this 10 times in at least in a total of both the old video and the new interview that was done, which was, the web is a place of distraction, you know? And so, you know, the last thing you want to do is go on to LinkedIn to start to do business and then start reading about your magician friend who has a new video. And suddenly, 20 minutes later, it's like, what was I here for? Oh, yeah, I was supposed to write an article on LinkedIn, and you've wasted that time.
Yeah.
Oh. So if for no other reason, that's a good one.
Definitely. Yeah. You know, the whiteboard with the top three things today, the four T's, as I call it, it's mandatory. And then there's free time. But my gosh. And yeah, Brian painted that picture perfectly of how quickly it falls apart. So, yeah. Good.
Cool.
All right. Oh, let me on.
So to clarify, were there two interviews with Brian? There was the whole big chunk in the module.
Yeah. And then we did the live one.
Live follow-up for people who missed. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
I'm
on track of those.
Yeah. Hashtag. I'm asking Ted one more thing. for the LinkedIn editors.
Hey, I've got a question. Maybe somebody knows the answer.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is there a way to leave reviews on LinkedIn app on the is there a way to write people reviews on the LinkedIn app? I'm just thinking, like, when I'm on the subway, like, that's the perfect time to write someone a review, but I couldn't figure out.
Oh, on the phone app. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You looked at a profile and it didn't seem obvious. I don't know anything else.
I didn't see it straight away.
Yeah. Okay. Connections, highlights, experience.
Oh, yes.
You do.
Okay. My apologies.
Nice. Yep.
Perfect. Well, hey, where did you find it?
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking
at the three little buttons. So if you like, I'm looking at my friends.
Oh, three little dots up in the right. Boom.
And it's the bottom one.
Okay. Yep.
And then request a recommendation.
That brings a little drop in.
Boom. Great thing to do on a train, man. Holy cow. And even Robert was talking about redoing, you know, make it a train activity, a toilet activity, you know, whatever it is. Like, you know, at some point in my day, regularly, I'm going to get rid of 5-10 people from my LinkedIn and look what I can start replacing it with. So good for you. Yeah, great.
Also, besides the standard verbiage for asking for a recommendation, would you suggest A, not asking for it, or B, is there any like great script anybody has for requesting a recommendation?
All I've ever done is write them first, and then LinkedIn sends a message that shows the review that I wrote and the recommendation I wrote, and then says return the favor or something like that, and it gives a link for them to write it. You know, that's probably
basically most often they do. Right, you've got a really high return on that.
Yeah, that's my preferred method of that. So,
would you do like with customers? I started with LinkedIn again now after listening to the module. Would you ask your clients after a show, can you write me something on LinkedIn?
You know, I don't break that mood, but in the post-show funnel, it's definitely in there. I would not do that at a show. That's just a completely different energy. Mm. You know, be that person of service, the star, not the marketer there. Plus, you know, let's see, Jim just put a thing up here. This is Canva. This is free. I imagine some people have used this. But if you just come into here and is there a LinkedIn? I mean, they would have to really stay in with it. Yeah, LinkedIn post header. Oh, and it's new. So they've stayed up. Oh, look at this. Oh, this is a post. A LinkedIn banner. Do they have the right? They have 14 by 425. Isn't that different from what did he tell us?
Yeah,
we're now 15.94 by 396. Yeah. Be interesting to play with this. But this is, and Jim was asking you.
Are you showing us this?
I'm so sorry, you guys. Dang it. Yeah, thanks for saying that, Danny, if I'm talking about something. Yeah, so this is Canva. Let me get that from the beginning.
So
Canva is free. It's beautiful. I've used it for designing magazine covers, articles, blog posts. I mean, this is mine, and it's insane. I dig into this all the time. But right here, if you just hit
hold on, Barry, go two steps backwards, please.
Yep.
Is this a cloud-based software?
It is. This is a cloud-based. Cloud-based software, free.
And is it kind of like a it appears to be kind of a Photoshop kind of a tool?
It's got templates galore, though. I mean, every social media, the right sizes, blog graphics, you can do full page papers. And then when you're done creating it, you just download either a graphic or a PDF.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. Beautiful. That's perfect.
Yeah. So, Jim,
JPEG from it too?
Yep. JPEG or PNG you can grab. Yeah, I made this magazine cover and sold a program that was a year-long Monday morning mastermind.
This would be a good thing to use for our flyers too that we learned like
this in. Great. In oh, yeah, I make mine in here. Right? This is where I came in and made mine. Probably way down, but yeah, piece these together. And it could be on another account. I have a few accounts but I think it's in here. Start Monday. All the sugar ones we do in here.
So you can upload your own photo or use existing photos that they have.
Correct. So the way they make money is they have photos that are $1 each. If you ever want to use them, and I can count the number of times I've used one. If I'm in a hurry, I'll do it. But most of the time, I just have my photos I want.
Yeah, and it appears that they also have a it appears that they also have a template for LinkedIn, a LinkedIn
banner. Yep, they got a LinkedIn banner here and a LinkedIn post banner
template. Yep.
So in here, Jim, you were asking, what do I do till I have the perfect photo? Man, make a montage in here.
Huh. Oh, montage. That's great.
And I just come in here and I just grab five or six images and boom, and boom. You know, stretch them. I mean, it's 1 second obvious how to do it all.
Can we use this to, we can't use this to make our PowerPoint though for the CVI, right?
You could do it to design a slide if you wanted though, for sure. And they have, they have
individual slides, right? Right.
Yeah. You could, no, you would just run it through, you know, you can do add a new page here and you could literally just screen capture this section of it, you know, grab your screen capture tool. Oh, grab that.
Mm-hmm. So, but the main thing people use this for is like to design flyers, posters.
Memes, things like that.
Memes.
And right here, these are all free. I think they're free. Yeah, see down here in the lower right, it pops up a little dollar sign or free.
Mm. Could you spend like 3 minutes and just like build a little poster?
Yep.
Build something like with two or three elements in it just so I can
have... Exactly, yeah.
All right, I deserve that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so you're taking an existing template and you're using the built-in font in the color that they suggested.
Yeah, and then...
I see.
Yeah, and then even here, there's all these great text elements in here. I mean, these are all just free and wonderful. And New York, Copenhagen University.
And you become a designer.
Pretty, it's fast and dirty.
I'm terrible with that. I'm so terrible at it. But here, there's that the right amount of white space and things are properly.
Yep. Ah, I got my caps on. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And then just one thing, like I have a bunch of photos here that I've uploaded for different projects. Facebook Live, all my sugar-free people. Mago. We'll put just a quick quote from Benji Bruce. You know, that goes, if you come out here, it takes over the whole background.
Wow.
I miss that.
Yeah, so I just grabbed a small image.
Right.
Let me back up. It's got a little bit, it's got an undo button up here in the upper left. If I take this image, which is a small image, and just drag it to one of the corners, it turns it, stylizes it for the background.
Oh, okay. So it's about putting it in the corner. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty fabulous.
This is really powerful.
And this tool is for free. You this only pay for fair. Pictures that wow.
you buy.
Yeah.
So they have a huge library like iStock.com or something.
Crazy ass library. And they have so many free ones too.
And I mean, it's searchable, I assume.
Yeah,
right?
If I just come up here and type magic, I mean, they'll show all the free ones first and then, there may not be any with magic.
Yes, there are.
Yeah, but I mean, they're all not free. They're all.
Oh. How much are these? Are these I can't see it. How much are they?
A dollar. Everything's a dollar if you buy a photo.
Uh-huh.
So, but I just typed in Apple and here's a whole bunch of free ones. And then you get down to the dollar apples, which I don't know why they're any different, but they're dollar apples. Yeah.
Somebody had to cut those apples. All the dollar apples have been cut in half.
Exactly.
So it took more work.
This is fantastic.
Wow. Yeah. And great thing here, you know, I just put these apples.
Does it work on a phone?
I've never used Canva on a phone. Don't know.
Man.
Yeah, it turned apples into my background photo. So I just undo that and I just shrink it down here. And see, it puts things on the top. Let's see. Yeah, I'm getting into the area where it's looking at that as the background, but that makes for a nice background, yeah. And it's under everything. So if I just hit arrange here and move it forward, it puts that to the back. So yeah. Mm-hmm. It's depending on, you know, it's 10 minutes away from being perfect, but kind of easy to do that. So
that's perfect.
I think I've mentioned this a few places. Sorry if I didn't make it obvious enough. Sometimes I throw so much stuff out there, but yeah. So this is good to go. Oh, and then when you're all done, by the way, here up this here on the right download, you can either get a PNG if it's going to go on the web or a PDF if you want to print it. Or a PDF if you're going to email it. Standard's just a little lower file size.
What's the difference between a PNG and a PDF? Does PNG get rid of like the white background around the picture?
PNGs can be transparent, and PNGs are typically smaller size.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, they definitely have the ability to be transparent and others.
Is that after you turn it into a PNG, is it automatically transparent, or is that another setting you need to add?
If you've not done anything to the background, I believe it will be. If you start with a blank canvas background and then don't put anything over it, like it's not going to turn white automatically transparent. These layouts are wonderful too. Let me just show you the grids. I think they have a thing here for grids. Why doesn't it show up? Let's see, search, elements. Oh, here it is, grids. These are great if you just want to lay out a flyer, a three image. And Jim, this is something you'll probably want to just do. So this is a, oh, bless you. Let me just make one more new one, new Facebook, a LinkedIn banner, and this will come in empty. And then you can just grab these elements here, grids, and stick that right on there and have your squares perfectly set up for your, this kind of thing. If you want to do some portrait photos. And then it treats each one of these as an individual photo. If I grab a photo here, it'll stick this on the top one. These aren't good examples.
Gotcha.
But you can get the idea.
Basically defining the photo boxes that you can
fill in.
Gotcha. Have exactly. A cool layout preset for you in certain proportions.
Yeah. Good. Leave. All right, that's the Canvas of the world.
So nice, powerful. Thanks. Wow.
And Danny, these will be great for making your memes for your your articles, your posts. Just come in here and just do grab the LinkedIn post here.
Yep.
Ready to go with a cool picture.
Yep.
You know, someone who's doing this really well, and I know using this is a website I'm a member of, Freedom. But he does all this is an entrepreneur lifestyle magazine. But every one of these things has a Canva. Had they made, or maybe they redid it. Yeah, maybe they've redone it. But or these might be. But boy, just so easy to do stuff like this. Huh? All right. Good. Let me get off that. What else can we dig into, you guys? What else came up in that one? We had the LinkedIn piece we covered. We had we worked with the producers this week, I believe, too.
We had the CVI, we had LinkedIn, I guess, and
okay, I thought
am I wrong?
Oh, maybe this is not the week that we talked about producers.
I had a question about it's the YouTube video, the cardinal sin of after your video, other suggestions come up. Right. I haven't been able to figure out how to turn those suggestions off.
Oh, sure, I'll show you that.
Where on YouTube can you do that?
Yeah, I'll definitely show you that real quick.
Mine was a plugin on my WordPress site.
Oh, interesting. So it went back and talked to YouTube.
Yeah.
I believe Squarespace does that as well.
Yeah. But if you just come down here, was that Colin who asked that? I'm sorry.
It's Nick.
John's a great dude. My gosh. Okay. Hit the share here and then hit the embed and then show more. They hide it. They want to show their videos. And then right here, show suggested.
Got it. That's easy.
Yep.
But wait a minute. You did that really fast, Barry.
I'm sorry, Danny. You're right.
Okay.
Gosh, I did that at my speed, man.
So so when you do this, you're going to your account of your own.
Doesn't matter. Any video you want to share at all.
But does it have to be one that? So my question is: Do you go into the video on your account? Or is it in the midst of sharing it, like in the midst of sharing it or embedding it onto your website? Is that when it's clicked?
It's neither. It's just whenever you're on a video on YouTube that you want to share. Like this one, I am on mine, but I could be logged out just as easily. And then I'm on the video and I want to share it. So I'll click this little share down here. Make that a little bigger. I'll hit the share. And then I'll come down here and select embed.
Mm-hmm.
And then show more. And here's where you get quite a few options. The size you want.
Right.
And here's the killer one at the end to show suggested. So just uncheck that.
So it's under the video size.
Yep. Under embed.
Uncheck
show suggested.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Show suggested.
Finish. Unclick that.
Yep.
Awesome.
Sending your clients to the enemy.
Yes, click and selected by default. No surprise, because YouTube likes showing videos. So.
And then right before we got into the LinkedIn thing, I thought you were going to say something about the Danger Committee or the Danger Committee page, and then that changed, but maybe you weren't. But if you were, I want to know what it is.
Yeah, definitely. Let's return back to that. Good catch. Yeah, I was just asking if you wanted to share some of the copy that had come up for the page, the work you'd done around it, the branding. I know you had you got in here and put this great America's Got Talent picture, which we talked about on the last
So we added that slide with the Danger Committee right there, and then the America's Got Talent one came up. We got a screenshot of that, a video grab, and then we put the quote from Howie right there.
Yep.
And then the copy is what needs work, but that was, that the stuff that you wrote isn't up there yet. But
okay.
But I don't know how the site looks or what people think, but.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the only problem with this one really was the copy. You know, it was, and take a look at this copy, you guys. This is just all, you know, whenever you have, whenever you have sentences, yeah, take a breath, Nick, we're going to be fine. but you know, whenever you're, and this is a great lesson for everybody, whenever your copy is, this is textbook about them. It's yeah. We are.
And it's textbook. You know, I just look at that. I just see like this big splattering of newspaper articles, and it's just way too many words for your landing page, as far as I'm concerned.
Nick, so can I share the copy that I wrote for you guys?
Well, absolutely, you can. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I'm happy to talk about all this stuff.
Perfect. Good. Let's do that. So Nick and team said, "Will you write copy for us?"
Thing, Nick, I want to say really quick. I personally want the slides to go at a slightly slower pace.
Me too. I didn't have any control over going forward.
To read that Howie Mandel quote, where I haven't even gotten to read it because it keeps going past so fast. So if you can put it on a slightly, maybe a second longer or whatever, I don't know if you've got control over the slideshow there.
And this is also some wasted real estate down here. I mean, if you're hovering over it, you get this info. I bet you somewhere in Wix, there's a way to put what you want here.
Okay.
Instead of AGT slide, you know, that's the file name. I'm sure it's grabbing.
Yeah. Yeah, we really want that there.
Exactly. I think some of the others were worse. That's actually a decent one. One was like, I can't stand my mother or something like that, wasn't it? No. Logo plus one or something like that. So.
Yeah. Okay. I got to take that out of there. I didn't even know that was that showed up.
Yeah, this is the wonder of having other people see your site.
That's enlightening.
Yeah. So let me put this copy up. You know, so, and this will be just a good, you know, kind of insight into what I do when I write copy.
Again, kind of getting back to the overall, is this website about you guys and your egos, or is it about how you're helping the client?
Totally.
All of your photos, apart from America's Got Talent, are just you guys. I don't see any audience members. I don't see any audience smiles. I don't, you know, so mix in here something that shows me, you know, your client base or something. I mean, I love all these images, though. Awesome images, but at the moment, that's just you guys.
Yeah, and you guys are collecting that, and I know you'll have a whole bunch of good stuff coming up. So
right from Ecolab.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, it's like I want to see the photo of a big crowd around you guys at Ecolab from this weekend or whenever.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna put up this copy. This is so when I I'll just give you just a little insight how I do this. I mean, I really sit and think about the act. I think about who they are, why they're different. You know, the great piece that Brian kept mentioning, how do we keep this from just being able to plug in another name? And I'm nowhere near as good as Brian is. I mean, that he's a nutcase. That's the level he gets to with people. But I dug into it a bit, and let me share this. Let me make it bigger. You guys can, and I don't think this does any word wrapping unless I put it on, because I'm just in the, about that. Let me yeah, that's fine. It's not about you guys, though. It may have a paragraph here, but
good intro.
Yeah, I think it's great. I love it.
This is what you're, this is, and I try and think about what is the prospect thinking in their brain, you know, what's the thing they won't tell me? And they're thinking their CFO is boring as shit. You know, they know that. They've seen it every year.
Yeah, award ceremonies are boring. Yeah, that's what they don't care about what we are, who we are.
No.
In that sense, but only about how they can help them.
Yep.
So.
That's right. The only piece that matters, yeah.
Great.
So would you pretty much just put that under in the same place where the other copy is?
I would, yeah. Okay. I mean, I would start with it, and maybe not all of it. There may be a paragraph or two too many in here that you can use somewhere else.
That's what I think. I mean, to me, it's like on this homepage, I want a couple of, you know, three of these sentences at most, and then a button to get more information or whatever.
Right.
Make them take an action. Once you've hooked them with this, you know, opening line, you know, can we help you with making your next presentation better? Whatever.
Hey, and look at this whole piece, man. This paragraph highlighted here could be taken care of graphically with some nice logos.
Right.
You know, would you put that below there? Those logos.
A bar of logos across the bottom of the page or something.
Yeah, and one of us, I think, in this group even had a nice scroll of logos that just, you know, went along. Great piece to do.
You know, which raises a question. Is there, do we have easy ways to go grab corporate logos? Like if corporations we perform for?
Google Images,
okay.
Yeah, just so go just to Google Images.
Type in Microsoft, tag here, and here's all you want.
Yeah, beautiful.
Right click, save as.
Yep, got it.
Good.
It's on my list at some point.
Yeah, exactly. Oops. Let me get rid of that. So, you know, use that copy how you want, Mick, but I think it's and you know, it's funny. One of my favorite teachers I've ever had in my life says there's no such thing as too long. There's only too boring. And I agree with that. I mean, I'll read a 20-page sales letter if I'm into it in the opening. I'll wish there was more at the end of it. So if you are speaking enough about the prospect and they see themselves in it, there's not too long. Yeah, for us, it's great to say it should be short and snappy.
But I also think just how the text is laid out on the page in this day and age, like if you have something that looks like a newspaper column or it's just a dense block of words,
it's beast.
Like that just steers people away at this point.
Yeah.
People are so short attention span. It's got to be bullet points. It's got to be spaced out, you know.
And they can make it a larger font too with less.
Right, right, right. Shouldn't look like a newspaper column.
And there's a lot of things we can do just design-wise graphically to really highlight the words we want them to see, you know.
Right.
So speaking of homework, I didn't get 50, but I wrote about 35 of those headlines. And the one I came up with is the one under the – I forget what it was, but it was
spectacular entertainment for unforgettable events.
Yeah, and that's just what I came up with from that whole list of that homework.
Yeah, and with this thing, I'll look at, you know, does it match what I'm seeing? And, you know, except for this photo. No, this is kind of fun. I don't understand this photo fully, but maybe people do with the Twinkie. I'm not sure about that. But it looks like spectacular entertainment for unforgettable events, and especially the still shot you have down here with the, you know, the big audience.
Yeah.
So did you pick this thumbnail or did YouTube?
That's a video. So that's our promotional video if you click on it.
Right. But did you select this thumbnail or did YouTube do that for you?
I did that.
Okay. That's the one you wanted. Good.
And the other thing that I just want to kind of mention, yeah, again, I keep really trying to drive myself back to make sure I'm not talking about myself. And I feel like it's so helpful to think about the fact that, like, I don't need to talk about myself because I've done everything else to make it obvious that I'm good. You know, you guys don't need to say how good you are. You don't need to say anything about yourselves because the pictures just say it so clearly. It's clear from just the way the website's put together, from the visual. Like, we know you're kick-ass. That's established. So tell me what problem you're going to solve for me.
It's great.
You don't need to spend any time establishing that you're skillful, you're entertaining. That's all done.
It's funny because my approach to this before, because I agree 100%, before was like your website is for people to know who you are, so you want to tell them who you are, but that's really not the point at all.
Right, it's, and again, it also kind of
do for them.
it also gets back to me too, this idea of you've already made the sale. You know, you're not, the website isn't trying to make the sales pitch. You're not trying to make the sale. They're here. You've already made the sale. So now just talk about what you're doing for them. You know, so it's kind of gets in a little bit of thinking from that perspective of, we know we're kick ass. We know we're golden. We know if you're here looking at our website, we're going to close this deal. So I don't have to convince you of anything. All I need to do is share with you what we're going to do that's going to be so great for you. You know, those kind of thoughts have just helped me in terms of freeing myself from trying to be like, oh, but I got to somehow convince them that I'm actually good at what I do. I've got to get into academic lingo. And I still do that some in certain things, but I just kind of keep coming back around to that.
Mm-hmm. And I remember you telling me specifically, Sven, that that was a lot of, you know, the work you wanted to do in here was to, you know, do the Shakespeare thing, which Meg just so aptly quoted, you know, from Shakespeare, brevity is the soul of wit. So,
Barry, are there examples of the websites that that Brian has worked on that we could see, like the, that he's done copy for, or is that kind of private?
No, I don't know that he ever shared any of those with me, but I will put a note in here for me to check in with that. I think he was going to do that. You know what he did though? He sent me the PDF for all you guys, which is awesome, of his book, which is expensive and unavailable.
Wow. Awesome.
PDF, Brian's book. Yeah. I'll put that. Brian's book. Yes. Keep it to yourself. That'd be great. Yeah.
I'm also really curious too, as I'm now looking at the buttons here for you guys, home, video, services, contact. I'm always curious about the word services.
Yeah, you had mentioned
that's that. One that I'm never sure works for me. I mean, it's an accurate description, but it's like service. You know, I call a plumber for service. I call, you know, the HVAC guy to come service my, you know, air conditioning machine.
What about experience?
How about shows?
Yeah, someone suggested shows. That was the one that, you know.
That's what I use.
That's what we use. Shows. Yeah, I think that's what I use.
And too. I think when we talked to Barry further down, we were just going to get rid of colleges and cruise ships and focus just on
offerings. Right. Yeah, we did. Mm.
Offerings.
I don't know where that came up from, but yeah, there you go. So, yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, good. There's work for you guys to do here, and we'll continue tackling it. I think it's really there's a lot you guys have to offer, and having some video this week that is representative of that's going to really help you this weekend. So have fun with that.
Yeah, give it a shot.
Yeah, that'd be great. Good.
Cool.
All right, Jim. I think I have a note on here. Jim, I know you had a bunch of stuff. Is there where can we jump into that makes some sense?
Well, it's a few questions I've had just anyway, I tried to highlight the specific ones. In the post-show funnel, repeat clients, like there's clients that I've had for years. Do I just add them into the post-show funnel now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you've never done it. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Put them in as much as you can recall all the detail that, you know, and if it's too far away, it gets a little tricky. They may not even remember it, the stuff you remember, but...
Okay.
But put them in it for sure. And these are clients you want to have again, I take it.
Yes. And Larry Binet had suggested a CRM system. Forgive me if I missed it. Do you have one that you recommend?
Yeah, there's a couple different. You know, the one that I'm in love with is Mago, M-A-G-O.
It's, I didn't make that connection.
It's okay. Written by a Service Blueprint alumni and a guy who will go to bat for you until you're work. In fact, I shared. Did you guys listen to that MP3 of him yesterday?
Yeah, it's great.
Michael.
You post that on Facebook?
Yeah, I put it in our Facebook group. Oh, my gosh. What did he just send me a note? He said he's doing the closing keynote in Oklahoma like tonight. He said it was really good to hear that. That was like 2 years ago that he had made that announcement at the top of our group that he decided to do a CVI instead of literally his own system where he can press the button from his phone and send back he said, you know, I just learned this thing and show his blueprint. And he said, he pulled his car over. He told the story. It was so good. Pulled the car over, did like 5 minutes of research, made a thing, book. And he's still to this day, 2 years into traveling all over the world. It's his number one client, tons of money. He's headlining these events now, but it was, you know, probably because he chose to do something that was 5 minutes extra instead of hitting the button in his own software that said, yeah, I'm available. It's so cool. So, yeah, trust it, and please.
Barry, did you ever use, back in the early 90s, did you ever use ACT as a CRM?
I was so big on ACT, Annie. Yeah, I was big ACT guy.
You had it before Windows was invented. You had the DOS version, right?
I had DOS ACT on a black screen with white writing. Yeah.
Right. Okay, me too, in the early 90s. And I still have it. It's sitting on my computer, but I really only use it when I want to do mass mailings. And I add people to it, and I use it to generate contracts, but I don't like schedule meetings, to-dos, and calls on it anymore. Yeah. So you switched to Mongo, because I'm trying to make that decision on whether I should keep using ACT, but I really don't use it. So.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many advantages over ACT when using something like Mongo. For one thing, it was written for us. All the Showbiz Blueprint funnels, Michael has access for you just to drop those into the templates. The ability to see things, to have the full email conversation with people right in their record. It's nuts. I mean, he made it from the inside, and he had years of Showbiz CRM, which he wrote, which was cumbersome. He admits it. Hard to onboard, and corrected all that in Mongo. So there is a webinar I did with him, and I know he gives a very generous trial, I think 60, 90 days or something, to show his blueprint folks. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And is it easy to import old contacts? Like, I'm in 17 hats right now, so it's easy enough to get everything transferred over?
He'll walk you right through it. I mean,
okay.
He'll get on with you and do that, so I'm going to put
it in. Also, they have an e-signature function, so you can send the agreements and have it signed on the internet, and that's just awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
I've seen programs that just do that, that goes for a lot of money. So,
right. Yeah, it's a good thing. So, yeah, he's crazy, and he's really living that. He wants to perfect it in this vertical with entertainers, and then he's scaling it out to a lot of other businesses. So, and, you know, full transparency, I'm a bit of a partner in that. So it's something I just believed in so strongly, and watching him. We had dinner a couple times when he was out here. He's all over the world doing this thing. He's with one of these big companies, like the Tony Robbins or the Motivation Groups, that tour around city to city, and he's got himself a killer spot on those. You know, all from that day when someone called him to maybe appear at something, and he happened to realize a connection, the stuff we did in week one, which is, here's the passion training experience I have in my life, and here's me getting a chance to mix it as an entertainer, and it's been pretty huge. Biggest thing to ever come out of you know, he's making big bank on it. So
awesome.
Yeah, trust that.
And where is that webinar that you talked about that you had with that?
It's I know it's in our resources. It's Mongo, MAGO.
Oh, okay. So it's under resources.
Is it under resources? Let me see.
I don't know.
Should be.
I recently got Mongo, and the more I look at it and the more I dig into it, the more I love it. Like, at first it seemed like, well, I don't even know if I need this. And then now I'm like, how am I going to do a business without this?
How long have you had it, Mick?
I got it about 3 weeks ago, because sometimes things take a little longer when you're talking it over with their partners. Everybody wants the right thing, you know. Yep. And we went ahead and did the full year, you know, the whatever, the gold subscription, whatever you want to call it. And I just sat down and started plugging clients into it. And I don't have that many. But the more I worked with it, it'll tell you what you've got coming up, what you've got that for deposits, what's coming in, what's paid. And then there's templates for all the email funnels that are just kind of there. You almost just have to fill them out. So it's just and dates.
Does it have does it have like a mini version of QuickBooks in it too, in terms of for money?
Well, no.
Track of it for you. What was the deposit? What was paid? But also how... Like, as dumb as this is, like, I don't have good records of what a past client paid us the year before. So how do you know what we're going to
have? You don't? Can't you just look at an old contract?
Well, you can. But what I'm saying is, if you put this stuff in, it's all right there.
All right. Okay. So it's all in one place. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here it is. Here's the replay. Let me grab this link for you guys, and I'll put it in.
Mick, I sent you a private message you should look at.
Good. And here, this, I'm just going to send this one to everyone, and I will also put it in our notes. But yeah, here's a really good training webinar I did with Michael, and he goes deep inside that sucker. And he's so cool. I mean, with everyone who's in this group, he'll He'll get on the phone with you because he's learning. He's onboarding a team right now, so he really learns where the stutters are.
Barry, if you're rebooking a show that you've done a couple years, like what kind of emails do you send to build anticipation like you would in the original booking funnel?
You know, Colin, the biggest thing for me on those situations is I speak to them from the place of service. Either we can come again or let me help you recommend somebody for, you know, to make sure the quality of the event stays where you want it.
But this is one, Colin, where you have booked it again, right?
Yeah. This is
not whether or not you're going to book it. You already have it booked.
Yeah. Gotcha. I missed that. Sorry. Thank you.
Yeah. Like this is, I don't know, this is the second or third year you've done it in a row. Like, and you say you want to build anticipation also coming from like a place of service when you originally put them in the funnel, but like gotcha. You would want to do that again the next couple of years, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, creative thinking on that, you've probably never done like a video or a audio commercial for them to send out or post on their website.
Right. No.
Which would be great. Even a handful of those Canva memes, you know, with picture with you with your full costume and, you know, excited to be back, you know, back again. Or just maybe key elements from your show, key hooks from your show that people may go, oh, that guy's there again. I totally remember when he, you know, when my dad's head was up his kilt. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. If you missed your chance last year, coming 2017, you know, grab a seat up front, get there early. That's really funny.
Yeah.
Awesome. That'd be hilarious, man.
A lot of potential.
Don't miss your chance. So funny. Yeah.
So Barry, I have this client and I sent a proposal to. I actually sent a proposal last year, and it took him so long to get back to me that when he finally did, I was booked for a trade show. I think you've probably done it, VMworld.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah, so you know it's a big crazy trade show with lots of performers at it, and so when he called me, I said I would. You know, I said he didn't even come back to me, but I just sent him an email 2 months after my proposal, which was a completely different version of what you're suggesting we do with the CVI. It was just kind of a boring written proposal with photos and a description. It was 3 pages and a long list of costs and expenses. But so he had that on file. So now he came back to me and goes, are you available this year? And I basically resent the proposal with the new trick that I do with my wife that I showed you the video of with the curtain thing. And he seemed to, and I sent it to him while we were doing a conference call so I could hear him laughing, and he really loved it. And it was just the right amount of time, 45 seconds. Oh my gosh. It was a choice to keep it short. And he got real into like, I need crowd gatherers. You know, the crowd gatherer I had last year isn't available. Do you have anybody? So I gave him 5 names, and then, you know, he said, can you send me any information about them? So I, in my computer, I had their resumes and photographs. So I sent those on, and I even checked availability for him. And I said, 3 of them aren't available. They're already booked for that show, you know, but these 2 are from San Francisco and in Denver. You got to fly them in, but you flew in the woman last year. It's not probably not a problem for you. But meanwhile, you know, so today he emails me, oh, what's their contact information? I want to get this taken care of. And I'm thinking, what about me?
I know.
You know, and this is my big problem with these clients, you know, for them to click through and make the commitment for the $10,000 fee you know, for me or more, you know, plus expenses kind of a thing for a few days. That's, you know, how do I push him along at this point? You know, he has my proposal. I said, oh, you can book these people directly. I don't have to get in the middle of it. If you want me to get in the middle of it, I'll do it. I'm going to add on 25% for my trouble to handle their logistics and the cold calls and these girls' emotions and, you know, making sure they got a hotel room and, or you do it yourself, whatever you want. Normally I try to book it, but I've taken your advice here and said,
good for you, man.
Because what am I going to make? A few $100 on each of them. It's like not even worth it, really.
More pain in the ass,
So I gave it to him, but how do I bring him back now? Like, okay, I've done favors for you. I've gotten you in free information. I talked to you for an hour on the phone. We did our hour conference call. We had question after question after question. I sent him a script of what I've done for other clients.
Wow, Danny, yeah.
So do I push him by saying, and last year he hired somebody, not the person I recommended he hired. He hired somebody else and he was disappointed, he told me.
Wow.
And he was disappointed 2 years ago with another magician. My God. It's like, what are you thinking about?
Yeah.
Well, but also here, I mean, 2 years of disappointment means now, you know, if you can win for him this year, that's great. You
know? I know, but I got to get him to pull the trigger on me. You know, and right. That seems to be the problem. He waited 2 months last year and he didn't make a decision.
What do you think the big conflict is? What's stopping him?
I think he likes to be very, very thorough, much more thorough than most people. And I'm saying that because he emailed me today. Instead of just booking these girls, I sent him 10 photographs of each woman, working trade shows, wow. A resume. And these are older women. These are women who are 40, who've done hundreds of trade shows. And they have a resume to prove it. And he wants to get on the phone and have a chat with them.
So, I mean, it seems
so he's very thorough, you know,
like the kind of situation. But his thoroughness has gotten him disappointment in the past. You know, right. So I almost kind of want to come back to him with this hardline approach. It's like, look, you haven't trusted me the past 2 years. You ended up disappointed. Either piss or get off the pot. Like I am telling you, I do, you know.
I know. Shit or get off the pot. That's what I want to say to him. So what I'm asking exactly.
But it's really like, hey, if you don't want to be disappointed, take advantage of my expertise.
And my availability right now. I don't know how long that's going to be.
Right, exactly. You know, I am an expert at this. I go to all these trade shows. Yeah. And I'm not sure if you're maybe also still trying to book yourself on this or just get him to book through you these other people.
I don't care if he books the other people through me. So
Right. Yeah. But yeah, so regardless, I mean, to me, it sounds like the kind of person who needs a kick in the ass, you know, and needs a hard approach, not don't hold his hand.
Yeah. He's someone who's like, that's why I was asking Barry if he had any clever ways.
I liked Barry's question. What's the number one reason we're not working together? Yeah. I think that's really...
I didn't hear him say that. Did you just say
that? No, you wrote it in the chat.
Yeah, what's the number one factor that's stopping us from working together? He'll tell you.
Yeah. Or what's the number one factor that has prevented you from making a decision of using me?
Yeah.
I want to know what's...
And
the number one factor in stopping us from working together is more about... Well, it could be about me. I want to know what's delaying his decision.
From booking me, yeah.
From booking me, okay.
Wow, what's wrong with that?
Thank you. I love that. And Meg, thank you for pointing that out. I wasn't looking at the chat.
Yeah, I like that phraseology, though. What's the number one factor? We're not working together. Because that is either using me as the trusted advisor to provide you these other entertainers or using me as the entertainer.
Yeah, a lot there, man.
And
I can hear your voice.
It's like open. It's open enough that he can fill in any number. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
He could actually give you an answer that's coming from a slightly different approach or angle.
Because when I emailed him back today with the phone numbers of those women, I said to him, like, you know, when's a good time for us to chat this week? And he didn't answer. He hasn't responded.
Yeah. Well, and you can also invoke a little bit of scarcity. What's the number one factor that's stopping you from booking me at this show? The fact is there's another thing happening in Orlando that weekend and I'm kind of eyeballing it. And I think this is our year to work together. What's stopping it? Man, hold silence after that. He'll tell you. Silence is powerful.
And who are the other two acts that he booked, Danny?
Oh, I mean,
do you know about them?
Were they
magicians? Okay. They were magicians. One was a male magician. One was a female magician.
Interesting.
And, you know, he wasn't happy. He said they were too pushy.
Gosh.
Really, were his words. You know, and it's a pushy show, actually. But I imagine once I can get him to sign on the dotted line, I can get him to talk more about exactly what he didn't like. Because I want to really know so that I don't, you know, I make sure I don't make that mistake. You know, I don't know what it It is. I have a good guess because I know the industry so well, and I know these two people. I've seen them perform, and I know they have a style that is distasteful, I think, to a lot of corporate. He's from Canada, this guy.
Yeah.
You know, so if we want to stereotype, you know, he's a little. I think he's more conservative than Americans. You know, it's a software show, and awesome. And it's a crazy software show. It's really loud and crazy and dense.
Yep.
And wow. But Barry, thank you for your suggestions.
Very good. I'd love to see that.
I will follow up and let you know what happens.
Ah, fantastic. Good for you.
But I love that line because that's always my big problem is I send the proposal and I get silence from people. And I never know how to push them along.
Yeah, so. And this is on the phone for sure. And I would totally blend this with a little bit of scarcity, Danny. You don't even have to make anything up, but there's some city that I'm kind of eyeballing right now. And this is the third year we've talked about it. And, you know, what's the number one factor? Because it's funny. I can't wait for him to see you do it, you know, to see what it looks like done right. Mm-hmm. It'd be really good for him to see what it looks like when it's done right. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Good gang. Okay. Jim, you had some other questions. I know you said you had a list, so let's keep following on your path.
Okay. Business card funnel. So I have business cards I've collected over the years. Are we just putting new business cards into the funnel or old ones as well?
Oh my gosh. Launch those old ones right into it.
Okay.
And great. Even do something kind of funny or connected if you happen to remember the people, you know, if it was, whatever, that's individual case by case. But boy, I really look to reconnect and bring them back to where they were when they handed you that card.
So I met somebody, got his business card, called him. So I got his voicemail. I left him a voicemail. What are your thoughts? Like, do you leave a voicemail, send an email? If you have the email, do you send it?
The first thing I do, if it's a company I'm calling and I can hit zero to go to the operator, I'll hit zero and ask to speak to the person and say, I just called his direct number, which I have. It went to a voicemail. I'm wondering if he's there.
Okay.
You have to do that. In fact, in a week or 2 weeks, we're talking about getting on TV shows and you don't give up. You always talk to the person. It's their job to answer the phone. So same with these people. I mean, make an effort to get them on the phone. And then when you're on the phone, that quick introduction, just like from the core conflict.
Okay. And I mean, so far, maybe just coincidence, they've all been cell phones that I've called.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Do you leave a voicemail if it was you?
I would, you know, at that point, they're probably seeing it, you know, doing the old look at it. I don't recognize that number.
Okay.
So before it gets to where they have blindness to that number, definitely leave a voicemail and keep it short. Phone number at the beginning, who you are, what you're calling. Are these people in the business card funnel?
Yes.
Yeah.
These are like three new ones. And then do you send an email if you just leave a voicemail or do you wait?
Yeah, I wouldn't right away. I would just give it a day, call back and say, hey, I'm going to follow up on email. They'll know it's you the second time. So you may get a pickup on that.
Okay.
Yeah, the phone's a dance. There's no doubt about it. And once you hear the music, it's a pretty nice dance.
I have a question about, you mentioned TV and getting on television. Like we do, because of some of the stunts we do, we'd want to get on Stan Lee's Real Life Superheroes kind of thing. But like, you know, if they really... For any TV show, what's the path to something like that?
Wow, that's really cool.
LinkedIn?
I didn't even know there was a Stan Lee Superheroes, but when you said that title, I'm like, this must be the greatest show in the world.
It is. It's like, you know, like a guy who can, I don't know, you know, bust boards with his head or someone who can hold their breath for, you know.
Right.
2 minutes and they like, I look for, it's like a That's Incredible kind of show. Remember That's Incredible from back
in the day? Sure, of course.
That kind of thing. And so, you know, like I catch a flaming knife and Caleb does the, you know, the knife throwing. And so we do those kind of stunts. And that just seemed like it'd be a cool thing for us to be on.
That would be perfect.
That would be awesome.
There's a magician who wrote a book that it's an ebook that I actually had a little bit to do with. I edited it for him.
Okay.
Called, it was basically a game. He's been on two or three game shows.
Okay.
And the book is really for magicians on routines that you can do in your kids' magic show that have a game show theme. But he also talks quite a bit about how he got on these game shows and what to do when you're being interviewed and auditioned and what websites you go to sign up so you can get auditioned and blah, 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 blah. And I'll look it up and I'll send a link if anybody's interested in it. He's a Chicago magician, kids magician, but he was on game shows. He did a couple of them and it was very exciting for him. And he won $50,000, you know, but like, I was thinking, do you remember the show? I don't know. Some of you will remember it if you're my age, called To Tell the Truth.
Oh yeah. Oh man.
That would be a perfect show for you to be on. Okay. I'm a knife thrower, you know, and people ask you questions and at the end you demonstrate it. You know, yeah.
That show and the show called The Liars Club saved me in childhood. It was the happiest place in the world for me. Those two TV shows taught me about improv. And this is something interesting too. I just saw Penn Jillette's involved in this thing called Moxie Games, his daughter's name. Yeah. It doesn't go full screen for some reason. There might be a place on this for you though, for you guys as well. These guys were playing ping pong with their volleyball using their heads for paddles and, you know, the bottle flipping and the whole insane thing. And keep juggling while someone heaves a ball at your face.
Yeah, they had
these guys.
Juggling championships there too.
Yep.
We've won a bunch of combat juggling tournaments at IJA. That's like one of my like weird unknown useless skills.
Oh, you're good at combat. Yeah. That's so anyway, that's so getting on TV, I got a whole module on that. It's definitely aimed at network news, morning network news programs, but it's so usable and so timely because there's always something happening in the world that, you know, look at Robert coming up on tourist season. You know, you should be on every TV show talking about the top things and sending people to a squeeze page after that where you can give them more value, you know, a PDF or something, and start building a mailing list. So,
man, it really makes me think too, you know, it's like, how do we get Robert over to, is it the Today Show that films in New York City?
Yeah.
Because that's not a big plane flight. And a lot of people from New York are going to go over to Europe for vacations. It's like, that'd be awesome. You know,
definitely.
You know, huge, huge audience base. Oh. Tons of corporate folks waking up, watch that show every damn morning as they start their day.
I mean, when they're out in the sport, like, yeah.
The pavilion.
Rockefeller Center.
Oh my God. And you could pickpocket some people literally in the audience or whatever. I mean, there's so many fun things you could do with that.
As long as your arrest doesn't get filmed.
Right.
Yes.
We'll bail you out, Robert.
I've heard bad things about American prison. I want to avoid that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm trying to get. I'm actually contacting some Swedish newspaper about pickpocketing for the summer season now, but they're notoriously hard to get a hold of.
Well, yeah. So. Then, yeah.
Boy, how do you? Do they have an office that you can get to?
I mean, ironically,
get on LinkedIn, find out who some of the employees are, pickpocket them as they go into their building, and then show up to the office and say, you know, your CFO may be missing his wallet today. I have it, you know, or whatever. I mean, is there, or plant, again, it's the reverse pickpocket, so you don't actually get arrested. Plant something on them. Plant the wallet on them that has your information in it.
Yeah, that sounds slightly more legal in the context.
Yeah, that'd be better, yeah. But, you know, I mean, something like that would be awesome. I mean, to go full gorilla on it. You know,
actually, I did two gigs for the major media company that sells marketing to the two big Swedish newspapers. So they have a lot of contacts there. I should use that.
Yep.
Yes. And I'll challenge you, Robert, to do that, to get out of your own way and stop telling yourself any story about you don't belong there, you don't, you know, not worthy, you're not ready for it. Any of those stories are just this little old piece of your brain that wants to keep you safe. So throw them out, man. Get bold. Go for the hell yes or the hell no.
Definitely.
I love it, man. You're going to do that.
Yes, I will do that.
Yeah, season's coming, man. The thievery season is coming. So, yeah, the summer out there. So, good for you. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I would really go after the Today Show in New York City as well. That'd be such a perfect fit.
Man, it'd be so good.
I think that you want to suggest, just like Barry suggests, that you know they'll do the juggling, the duo juggling with the CEO up there, the pins flying around them. That I don't know. I assume you can do this, Mick. You know, can you throw knives at somebody else, or do you only throw them at your partners?
Nick, you're muted. Yeah, muted. Unmute yourself.
I'm usually the recipient of the knife throwing. I do the catching, but Caleb can throw around anybody. He is incredibly good. He's done some stuff that I've never seen anyone else do. So we do some really cool stuff. So there's some things we won't do around an audience member, you know, like not because he's ever going to hit them, but because of the perception that we're
too big of a risk.
Yeah.
So is there some way to do it, like to put him in a, like to dress him up in some kind of knife-proof suit, you know?
We actually do a really fun thing in our show where I hold a balloon. The person holds a long balloon animal balloon in his mouth in front of the board. So they're way far away from any actual. Right. And he holds it in the mouth, and I hold it in my mouth on the other end. So it's really funny, and it looks stupid. It's on the video. This Wheel of Death thing. He actually slices a cucumber on Jason's wrist while...
it's insane, man. It's really frightening. And I do think your video should still start here at 9 seconds in with this. You know, this first 9 seconds, people could click off when nothing's happening.
Okay.
It's really something I almost demand you guys do. But yeah, if your video opens and this guy's getting spun on the wheel and all this, you know, milk it out a little bit more before you go into stuff they may have seen with juggling or don't understand or
sure.
We can't have fire at our event because... Yeah, I mean, there's some, and a voiceover talking about risk management and, you know, when is it worth it to take a risk for your sales team? You know, when's it safe to look like everybody else? And when do you have to throw a knife at your.
Yeah. And why do you even have, you know, what's his name talking those 4 seconds of
Piers Morgan,
Piers Morgan talking to you. Yeah. I mean, I can't hear it. I'm just looking visually, but, you know,
I think he probably does say something that helps your cause, right?
Yeah, he does say something good, which is, it's hilarious what they said and what actually happened. God.
I know. Those of us who have played in fake danger our whole careers, man, I look at something like that and I just think, shit, really?
Yeah, there's some real stuff there. Yeah. It's funny, though, because Piers loved us. And he went on for 5 minutes about how much he loved it, how much he thought we could win, how far he thought we could go. And then at the end of his thing, he said, let's vote. And then that's the only thing they had him say on TV is, let's vote. They left out all
the... Edit.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't get that raw footage either.
Oh, no.
No, that's not for you. Yeah. Yeah, this is the piece I was talking about. This is so insane. I mean, just doing something like this, even slow motioning that. Look at this one.
One, yeah.
What the?
I know.
He is, I'm serious, like the best knife thrower on the planet, and I'm not bragging about him.
He's channeling that stuff. But, I mean, off an arm while you're moving. I mean, that could be in that mega slow, you know, the iPhone does such remarkable or anything does super, super slow motion.
Are you having your... Oh, you talked about that.
No.
In terms of getting video at the trade show.
Yep.
Yeah, and that won't be as, you know, the same kind of thing. It'll just be a circle of people, but it's still, you know, I want to get happy, smiling faces and, you know. Yep.
Just the context.
100 people around
If you need the name of a guy in Chicago who videos variety acts to come down and spend an hour or two, you will get, I mean, he's a professional videographer, editor. And he's the guy who worked with Jeff McBride, if you know who Jeff is.
Wow, sure.
Maybe you even know him. Did you know Jordan Wright, Barry?
No, I don't know Jordan
Wright. I don't.
Well, go to his – I posted one of his – he's the guy that does those cool photo things, those kind of moving 3D photo things that I put up.
Oh my God, that was so cool. I love
it. Cool stuff, isn't it? That's something he invented. He invented that. He says he did. I haven't seen it done really anywhere. I mean – he'll do that for like, he'll do one photo for like, I don't know, I think it's less than $50.
Oh my God.
He can do that for you. But he does great videography. Great. And it would be to your, I mean, if you want to do more trade show work, it depends if you want, yeah, it's up to you. And if you want to do more trade show work, that, you know, it might behoove you to pay him a few hundred bucks to come down and shoot an hour or two, and get some great footage and have him make a 1 minute video at the end with your supplemental cameras.
So true.
Wow. I mean, yeah.
And if you ever want to go to Sweden,
I know, the fact that you did it last year, you know what you're walking into. So I imagine you're going to have giant crowds there. I think you must have big crowds.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, look at this, like this video, like this, that this guy does from the moment where the cucumbers cut, you know, these are insane.
Yeah.
They're just beautiful. I really love what this guy
I like does. The one, I like that one you're on now, Barry. Watch the hats.
Yep.
That's really cool.
So he explained, he told me how he did it. You know, he creates these separate elements and he manipulates each element individually.
Look at that. Yeah.
They're very powerful. They're really very beautiful. Powerful. Very powerful. Yeah, they're right.
Good storytelling. I like this guy a lot. I'm going to pass his name around. It's good.
Oh yeah. Mike, I saw the clip. It's freaking amazing. If you ever want to go to Sweden, I know an event planner who I think you guys, your show is going to be perfect.
I really want to go to Sweden, Robert.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know whether or not he's willing to fly people over, but he works for very big things. So, awesome. And he does a circus theme thing. I'm not going to go through it all here. But I think you guys, oh, perfect. I'm going to send him your contact information, if that's okay.
I would really appreciate that. Thank you, Robert.
Sweet.
Barry, can you put the moving pictures in like a resources link too?
I will put this on here right now because this was.
And Mick, I was just going to say, I wonder who arranges for like Cirque du Soleil to go to Sweden, you know, like who sets that tour up? Yeah. So those would be maybe the people who could help you guys get to Sweden or get a European tour or something. So.
I'd love to travel.
Cirque du Soleil. Yeah, they got a couple things going on.
They got a few things happening. Okay.
Hey, Barry, I was also going to suggest, you know, adding maybe a couple things into the tech resources section.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know that you had put your link for Mago Talent in there, in one of the modules. But I don't see it in the tech resources section.
Got a note right now, and I'll do that.
Yeah, and I know that it was your specific link, so.
Yeah, it's good. It's got a training. It's got a special. It tracks some back to Showbiz Blueprint people, so that'd be great.
Yeah. It also has the. I guess he was offering some sort of a.
Yep.
Sort of a deal for Showbiz Blueprint, and that was your affiliate link or whatever.
Good. So. Was there another one?
Thank you, sir.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't know if there were any others. That's perfect. Yeah. I'll add that in. Yeah. Good. All right. Hey, Jim, you had some more.
Was Jeff, you are unmuted.
Am I muted? Yeah. This is kind of it's nothing we've really addressed in the course. So I'm also a professional Santa Claus. I'm actually the official Santa Claus for the City of Boston Tree Lighting. Every year I receive... last year I received 320 requests for my time and I did 72 gigs. I don't have other Santas I can outsource to. It's just blown up in my face and reputation, et cetera. I'm just trying to figure out what funnels to put these people in, how to do it. I will be raising my prices, but that's where we're at.
Wow. Love it.
Okay, cool. What comes up?
What's your Santa website? I want to go look.
SantaBoston.com.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I got that domain in 2004 for $9. I still have a screenshot of my receipt for that, which is great.
That's really cool, man.
It's just a niche business. You know, I interact with other Santas, and these guys are great, but they're mostly older retirees, and not all of them really take the business very seriously. And I'm not in the
age. You guys got to see this picture.
Thanks, Danny.
Wait, which one
screen share it.
Danny, sure.
I'm on my other screen. Barry, go to Santa Claus. Oh, man. Oh, my God. Dude. Oh, good.
I'm a little embarrassed now, you know?
Jeez, you're like a Santa rock.
You know what I like best about it? Is that the flags, look at the flags, you can't see the blue. So it's like candy stripes, you know?
I never even thought of that.
That is awesome. That was an accident?
That was my photographer. I worked with a really talented photographer for Santa Claus season, and that was all him.
Wow. That's really cool.
See, now if you went and you went to that guy who does those magic photos, right? Whoa. He could have you moving in it, and the flags
That's the Boston Public Library in Copley, and he shot really low, and I'm about 12 steps up, and I jumped as high as I could, and he captured it. So
good jump, man.
You look like you're coming down a chimney or something. Yeah. It's great.
That would be fun to throw through Danny's buddy there, the photo guy, and get that. Anyway, it doesn't sound like you need any more work, but what you're looking at is, you know, how do you monetize all these phone calls that you're not going to deal with?
Right.
Yeah.
I've trained other Santas. Sorry, Barry.
No, please go ahead. What have you done around it?
I've trained other Santas. Like the one guy, I was great, but he moved to Chicago. You know, he's not a Santa anymore. That's my dentist. I don't feel comfortable, you know, sending out referrals, but I'd love any input that you guys had for, you know, like, you know, 320 leads were left on the table, and what do I do?
Okay, so you got to get comfortable sending out people.
Dude, okay. $100 from each of those is what?
Yeah, do you know who Silly Billy is, Jim?
Yeah, I love his book.
Okay, so years ago, you know, Silly Billy, this is back in the 90s, he, you know, before the tech bust, he had Silly Philly, Silly Millie, Silly Willie, Silly Tilly. And you know who he hired? Nursery school teachers and elementary school teachers. He taught them how to do very simple magic with change bags and, you know, things that were pretty automatic. And he sent them out. And he had a person handling it. And he did very little work, you know, but he wasn't available. Would you like Silly Willie? Would you like Silly Tilly? You know, and there were, and it was a whole business he'd done. And he was, and I'm pretty sure he was more than doubling their price. Oh, these elementary school teachers were very happy to go out for, at the time, $75, as 20 years ago now. But because it just supplemented their income. And they had their teachers, they had no idea how to get their own business. But they were great with kids. And teachers are off during the Christmas season. Somewhat.
Yeah, it's mostly weekends. You know, that's when I turn away.
I don't know, man. I'm seeing Santa University.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Right. I mean, to me, this is your version of 30 days sugar-free or whatever. This is your chance to, like, you know, really, if you don't feel comfortable referring people, train people to get them to the standard where you feel comfortable referring them. Wow. You know? And yeah, you're immediately like, you're handing them business. Like, you pay me X amount to get trained, I will get you this much income this holiday season.
You buy the costumes and you, I mean, it's a lot of work. Don't get me wrong. Oh, and no. I've booked other talent, you know, it's a lot of work, but
it's scalable, you know, and scalable work is always way better than a lot of work for one-off. It's
right. And just the whole idea of, you have done something right that has gotten you four times as much work as you can actually do. There are other Santa Clauses out there around the country who don't have as much work as they want. You know, so it's like you're onto something there that you should be sharing and profiting from.
Have you done what you would consider kind of deep work analysis on, you know, what is it that makes you so successful as a Santa? Because, you know, there's the easy answers, and then there's the deeper stuff, you know, the stuff that someone watching would never notice, but they know they're seeing it.
I have not. I mean, I just attribute it to working with kids full time around the year versus most Santas who do it 1 month out of the year. It's the improv and the stand-up comedy and the marketing, et cetera. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, crossover between Jungle Gyms and Santa Claus, but the deep work in terms of really examining it, no, I have not.
Yeah. I wonder if you could, and then extract it out and make it teachable. And by teachable, I mean through a series of video modules that people buy to be a part of a a membership site, right, and maybe you have a live meeting.
Right, and you could have these modules of you know, you could secretly mic your interactions with kids as they ask you these hard questions. You know, I want my dead mommy to come back for Christmas, and you know,
how do you deal with that, right?
And how you deal with that, how you answer those questions, and you could have like, you know, the video of that, and then a video of you talking about that. Here's what I was thinking. Here's what this kid was thinking. Here's my little psychoanalysis of what the situation was, and here's what this mom was doing, and look at her body language. And you could, right, you create these modules, take everybody through it, you teach them how to do it.
The immediate thing I think too is the very first step is you're outsourcing the person who's going to organize all this. You know, run some numbers and be like, hey, I've got a job, like someone's organizing it, and you're going to make a cut, they're going to make a cut. But there's a ton of organizing stuff that's just really straightforward work that doesn't have to be you, and you can still be profiting from it.
I really love the module idea, not to steal from you, Barry.
Oh, are you kidding me?
But no, because I've attended Santa Claus schools, and they're not that great. You know what I mean? Like, they're not addressing what needs to be addressed. Like, I've learned a little bit, but there's really a core and, core of doing this. And, you know, it's been years since I tried to train other Santas, Danny. I've come a long way since then. So I'm not actually as intimidated at sending them out, you know, and making the money. And, you know, I love the idea of the videos. I really like actually creating a system of training Santa Claus. If I create this system, do I need to still send Santas out as well? Or could I just write, here's the Santa gym training system, sign up, boom, boom, boom.
That depends on what you want to do.
You know what, though? What was so great about it is that you'll meet with people, the people who buy the system, you'll meet, and then you'll be able to know if they're any good or not. So if you want to, you don't have to send them out if you don't want to. Look, booking talent and making sure they're out is tough. Jeff knows that. You know, it's a huge responsibility. And every once in a while, you have major problems to deal with when somebody can't show up. Mm-hmm. I booked a face painter last year, and in the middle of the 6-hour gig, she got a phone call that her mother died. Oh. What do you think she did? She got up and left.
Hopefully, yeah.
Which, of course, but the client, which was a major pharmaceutical company, was pissed. You know, you didn't have a backup ready. You know,
it's right. Like, well.
So stuff happens, but you know, it's risk versus reward. How much money can you make off them in the long run? And is it a business you want to handle? Or, you know, like Barry, you know, get a Betsy to handle it. You know?
Yeah. And I'm going to jump in. You know, we're going to do this. We're going to do a passive income module here at the end. It's actually a bonus. It's not one of our 10, but we're going to do it at the end. And I'm going to invite all alumni in it because it's just been so updated since I did it. And I'm just going to do it live with you guys. But Jim, there's going to be a lot in there for you. And I'd love to just kind of chat with you offline about that, because this is something I think the timeliness is very important for you to even launch it on a Boston level, you know, a New England area. You can get people from around the area, you know, in the summer, in the fall to do it, record those sessions. And I think you'd have your live online training as a result of that.
It's a great job. And it's really like, if you look at it, it's 12 days out of the year that they'd have to work Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You're talking about the teachers. Like, that's great for them. I'm pumped. Like, I would love to do this because I'm one of the best Santas out there.
I bet.
Well, the other thing is you can just trademark like certified Santa. Like, you can certify. Yeah. Like, I don't think anybody owns that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, totally.
Certified by Boston Santa.
Someone's feeding back there. There we go.
But yeah, you're the Santa certifier.
Dude, that'd be amazing. Santa certifier. I mean, the thing you bring with us, Jim, is you bring so much mass authority to the niche. Just the fact that you're the official title in Boston.
Ellen, I think you made some trouble. Can you mute yourself?
Who was it?
Ellen, I think it's Ellen.
Oh, yeah.
Here, I'll mute. Yeah. There we go. Yeah, so you have so much authority in this market. It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
The quick story is the Macy's Santa used to be the official Santa, and they canceled last minute. They called me and they said, we have no budget. And they said, what can we do for you? I said, can I be called the official Santa for the city of Boston? They said, yep. There we go.
Who is it that said yes? Some guy at Macy's?
Director of Parks and Recreation for the city of Boston.
Oh, wow. That's got to be official.
Yes. but I love the idea of certifying this. This is, I knew I was going to incorporate Santa Claus somehow into SBBP. Now I know how. This is huge.
Well, good. Yeah, we'll cover a lot of this, like what the modules look like. But I think if you did this in the New England area, advertised it, got a LinkedIn following, start finding the people you wanted, did a couple webinars leading up to it, and then announced a launch that you're going to do this live event. What would it take, a day or a day and a half, 2 days in a conference room somewhere?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I actually have a virtual assistant. I've been working with Kylene for the last year. This is right up her alley. She'd be great at this. And I never even thought of bringing her in terms of managing the project.
I think you could start by writing an ebook. I put a message in the chat room about that. You can check that out.
Oh, that's great.
I'm not sure how good a writer you are or are not, but that's something I can help you with. I've written ebooks and I've edited several of them. And amazekids.com is a website for family magicians, and there's a lot of Santas on there. You could also lecture about this at Kadabra. Do you know Kadabra?
In Tennessee in August?
Yeah, it's a family magician conference. It's different than any other magic conference because 90% of the magicians who attend are full-time performers as opposed to hobbyists. And there's a bunch of people who go who are full-time Santas.
Interesting.
But I've never seen an ebook on how to be a Santa, you know, or how to be a magic Santa, you know. But I don't want to take up time here talking about it, but if you want to email me or contact me directly, I'm very easy to find. I'm all over the web. Okay. I'm happy to talk to you about that.
All right. And Barry, I'll send you an email about this as well.
Please, yeah.
Okay.
You know, there's just a lot that comes up from this. There's so much, and you're right to do it. There's a passion there. There's a history. There's authority. And it should be done. It's fantastic. It's what I look for. And I know you'll come out of this with something that's like, oh, I didn't know this was happening. So, and you'll be great to do it. And you're used to being in front of crowds. You're comfortable with kids. And, you know, ebooks, and Danny can probably tell you this too, but video series, the lead ups are all about the what, and you sell the how. You know, that's literally what you do. A lot of what you need to do and sell the how we do it. So we'll be all over that. Ah, so good. All right.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Yeah. All right, you guys, we hit 2 hours, which I have to make a hard limit. I have another call at 2 and I got to go eat and say hi to my wife. Tuesdays are so crazy. So I love this group. I love the amount of time we spend, the depth, the directions we go in. I don't want to even take credit for it. It's just the people who came to it this year are remarkable, and the containers here to go wherever it needs to go. So I'm thankful, and we'll dig in. Next week, lessons coming Sunday morning again, and it's intense, man. They're all intense this year. Good, Jeff. Thanks so much for that comment. They're just, what's happening here towards the end is big. I ask you to just keep going into that pool of potential and possibility and capacity for yourself, and keep pouring it in, because we're going to be talking about TV. We're going to be talking about these areas that just expand our ability and the reasons why we should be doing this in the world. And they're incontrovertible. You won't be able to argue with, yeah, I should be doing this because this is me. So, and I already see it kind of bubbling under the surface here. Certified Santas, I see, is in the future of our country. So it's amazing. And we'll keep doing our own version of it. So thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Barry.
Yeah.
Thank you, Barry.
Thanks, Barry. Bye, guys.
Talk to you all
soon. Bye.
Bye.
Great night. Have a good night, Robert. Bye. And Renee, good night. Go to sleep.
Good night.